Hello and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels, heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. This is a program where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we are going to be finishing the portion of our study that we have called the ending of miracles in Jesus' ministry in Perea, that land beyond the Jordan. And today we're going to consider the parable of the minas. We'll be in Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27 today. Now Jesus gives us this parable on the heels of his visit with Zacchaeus. Jesus was now nearing Jerusalem for the last time. He was only a week away from the cross. Jericho would be one of Jesus' last stops before arriving in Jerusalem. So let's go now to our text, Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business until I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants, to whom he had given the money, to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your miner has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you, that to every one who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Now let's consider the parable further. Let's go back to verse 11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem. and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. As we noted earlier, Jesus was near Jerusalem. He gave them this parable as a result of their belief that he was going to Jerusalem to establish his kingdom and rule physically from the throne of David. Verse 12 says, "Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." So Jesus relates to them that a nobleman traveled to a far country to receive a kingdom, and then he would return back home. Jesus here points out that he would leave for a time and then return. Jesus has promised us that he will return for his disciples one day. Now, notice that the nobleman left and received a kingdom and then came back again. Jesus received a kingdom and then left, and he will return again. He will not return to receive a kingdom that he already possesses. And this is a direct blow to the doctrine of premillennialism. And this is also in harmony with the prophecy of the prophet Daniel. Listen to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly walk and will soon return to the Father and receive his kingdom. Jesus will return one day, and he is represented by the nobleman who calls for 10 of his servants before going to the far country, which is representative of Jesus' return to the Father. Verse 13 says, "So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come." The nobleman gives one mina to each of the 10 servants. A mina was said to equal about 2 to 3 months' wages. Thus, it was no insignificant amount of money. Perhaps it was as much as a fourth of one's annual wages. The nobleman instructs them to do business, or make money till I return. In other words, they were told to be profitable. Verse 14 says, "But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us." The nobleman is hated by the people, according to verse 14. And the people did not want him to rule over them. Now notice verse 15. "And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, He then commanded these servants, to whom he had given the money, to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So the nobleman receives his kingdom and returns. He calls for his servants to come and to give account of their performance with his money. Verse 16 says, then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. The first servant happily reports he has earned 10 times what he started with. And see the response of the nobleman in verse 17. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. The nobleman offers his praise to the servant and greatly rewards him. Giving him authority over 10 cities for making 10 minas for him. Verse 18, and the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. The second servant has turned the 1 mina into 5 minas. The nobleman rewards him proportionately like the first servant and gives him authority over 5 cities. But now the key to our parable is the third servant. Verse 20. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. So this servant returns the mina back to the nobleman. He admits that he did nothing to increase the nobleman's money with which he had been entrusted with and commanded to increase it. He ignored the orders of his master and hid the mina in a handkerchief. He then offers a feeble excuse in verse 21. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He was so afraid that in essence he says, I was so scared of you, I did not do anything. The nobleman says that he will condemn the servant with his own words. 22. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge, collecting what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? He's saying, if you thought I was a stern man, why didn't you go and make a profit? At least at the bank, you could have made a little bit of interest. Verse 24. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas, for I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. The mina is taken away from him and given to the one with 10 minas. The third servant proved he was unable to carry out the instruction of his master. When this was proven out, the mina was given to one who had proven fruitful for the master. Who would you invest your retirement savings with? A proven investment or someone with no record of success? That's not a difficult question. What was given to the third servant was now taken away, and it was given to one who had proved themselves. This servant had proved to be unworthy of the nobleman's kingdom and unworthy to be his servant. But that's not the end of our applications of this parable. Recall verse 14 and the citizens of the kingdom. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." They did not want this man to be their king. They sent a delegation to try and stop it from happening, but they failed in their attempt. Do you see the parallel with Jesus' entry to Jerusalem? He enters triumphantly, and it is proclaimed that he is the King of the Jews. But Jerusalem does not want him to be their king, so they kill him. So the nobleman in our parable received his kingdom and returned. Notice verse 27. "But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me." Those that did not want him to reign over them would be brought to him and slaughtered. So let's look at some of the things we can take away from this parable. Go with me back to verse 20. And let's look again at verses 20 through 23. "Then another came, saying, 'Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow.' And he said to him, 'Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest?'" You see, the sin of the servant in verses 20 through 23 was the fact that he did nothing. He took the mina entrusted to him and did nothing with it. The individual was a servant. This parable is directed toward disciples, not the alien sinner. The application of the passage is to the church, not the world. This man was condemned because he took the mina and did nothing. We also will be held accountable for what we do with our wealth for the kingdom of God. We will be judged by what we do with our material blessing. However, the greater application is what will we do with the gospel that is entrusted to us. What have you done with the gospel? Our salvation is the greatest thing that God has given us. Have you hidden the gospel and been ashamed of it? Have you proclaimed it to others? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? We cannot be unchanged by the gospel. We cannot live unaffected by its power. We cannot just simply refuse to teach others and hope to be justified before the great I am. We cannot be like the servant and be afraid of failure. It is not an option. We cannot do nothing. The servant in the parable feared that his master was a hard man. But the commandments of our Lord are not grievous. They are not burdensome. And last, we again consider the people who did not want the nobleman to rule over them in verse 27 that says, "But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me." There is no difference between the servant who did nothing with his mina and the people who did not want him to rule over them. Nothing. There's no difference because they are all rebellious towards the king. They attempted to reject the king, and it was costly. And it is certainly costly to reject King Jesus. What a tragic mistake to reject the rule and authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to return, and he will take vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel and reject him. Jesus is calling you out of darkness and into his glorious light. The question is, will you step into that light? I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope that you've benefited from our time together. I've been greatly encouraged by your presence, and I look forward to seeing you again next week, if the Lord wills, when we begin a new portion of our study here in Studies in the Gospels on the Gospel Radio Network. Until then, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.